stand with me all over this house today. Man, what a wonderful presence of the Lord. Man, I tell you, anytime you can come into the house of God and feel His presence, we should be a thankful people. We should be a thankful people today. God is so good. God is so gracious. God is so merciful. Amen. I'm excited to be able to preach what's on my heart today. Amen. As I get ready to minister the word of the Lord, as I was studying this week, the Lord just really showed me how fortunate I really am. And I want to ask my wife to stand today. Well, she's already standing. But what I'm going to preach about today made me think a lot about my wife. How many appreciate our first lady in this place today? Through all my ups and downs and all my ins and outs, through my weaknesses and through my strengths, she holds me when I cry. She laughs with me and rejoices with me when I laugh. She's a friend like no other. And I want to tell her I love her and I deeply appreciate her today. And thank you for helping hold me up in this place. To all of you that support us, support this ministry, support this church, not just in the giving of your substance, but in your presence, in your worship, in your praise, in your adoration, in your faithfulness, and all that you do, we give you honor today. We want to say thank you. We love this body so much. We're privileged, we're humbled to pastor the greatest church on earth today. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew 25, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm sure there's hardly nobody in this church that hasn't read these words in red. Those of you that are new to church and you see those letters in red in your Bible, that means that Jesus said them. But hardly nobody here has probably not read this passage of Scripture, but as I began to study it this week, I feel like I have a new perspective. My hope is today to share that perspective with you. How many know we can never extract everything from the Word of God? Our finite minds are not capable. We're not capable of knowing all of God's goodness and all of God's grace. Matthew, the 25th chapter, and I'm going to read verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 13. Shout yes when you get there. Matthew 21, verse 1. The word of the Lord says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, and they went forth to meet the bridegroom." Everybody say bridegroom. They went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of these virgins were wise and 5 were foolish, the Bible says. They that were foolish, they took their lamps and they took no oil with them for their lamps. But the wise, they took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, he was a little delayed. They all slumbered. They all slept. Instead of going and getting the oil that they needed, they knew the bridegroom was coming. But they chose to sleep and to slumber. Verse 6 says, "At midnight there was a cry made, and behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose." All those virgins trimmed their lamps. "And then the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are already burned out. But the wise ones answered them, saying, not so. Lest there be not enough for us and for you. But you got to go rather to them that sell it and buy it for yourselves. And while they went back to buy, the Bible says the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, the virgins that were foolish, saying, Lord, Lord, open the door to us. Verse 12 says, he answered them, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, I know you not. So watch therefore, church. So watch therefore, for ye know not, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. My hope today is to help you see the significance of the sacrifice he made. The journey of the bridegroom through a first century lens. Church, our God gave his all. Sister Sam, he didn't hold anything back. He didn't say, I'll give you a little bit. No, he gave his all. He gave his all. Let me tell you something. Jesus, the bridegroom, made the journey to right where you're at today. And I want to preach for the next few moments on this topic. A long day on a hard camel. Let's lift up the Lord all over this house today and magnify his name for just a few moments before we're seated. A long day on a hard camel. Our God didn't hold anything back. He gave his best. He gave his all. He gave his life that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. I think we ought to give him some high praise all over this house today and magnify his name. Glory, he's worthy today of our praise and our adoration. My, my, my. The Lord is worthy. The Lord is worthy. The Lord is worthy today. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated. I want to speak to you for a few moments today on something that my mind has been wrapping around for the last few weeks. And that topic is a wedding. It's a wedding. And this is what made me think so much about my beautiful bride and how fortunate I am to have her by my side. And the Bible says that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And I'm thankful for my wife today. In first century Eastern weddings, there's a lot of differences than our modern 21st century Western weddings. There's a lot of contrast in the way that things transpired, the way that things happened. In the East, the customs are different. One of the things that I've committed myself to over the last little while is trying to learn more about the Hebrew customs and the way that they lived their lives. The customs in the first century in the East are much different than they are here in the West. Their customs have meaning. We name our kids Joe, Bobby Sue, Jennifer. They name their kids after Bible characters, They're Bible figures. Their customs have a lot more meaning than we have here in the West. Their customs are symbolic. In America, we have what we call bridezillas. Hopefully there ain't no bridezillas in BBA. But we have bridezillas because in the West, the wedding is all about what she wants, right? It's all about what she wants on her big day. This is her day, right? The man, he really don't care. And I'm just being honest. We can go back to Sunday school, but we're not going to do that. The man, he really doesn't care. In the West, it's all about the woman. It's all about what she wants. It's all about her having everything the way that she wants it on her big day, right? In the early Eastern weddings, the bridegroom was the important figure. It wasn't about the bride, Brother Eddie. It was about the bridegroom. Okay? It was a different scenario than what we have here in the West. In the West, it's all about the bridezilla. It's all about what she wants. And if everybody don't conform to exactly what she wants, everybody's day's going to be miserable. Right? But in the East, it wasn't that way in the first century. It was all about the bridegroom. He was the important figure in the wedding, not the bride. In the West, it's all about the bride. In a traditional wedding here in our Western civilization, I've officiated many weddings. I've officiated many weddings of people that are in this church. Here in the West, we bring the bridegroom up to the front of the church, the front of the venue, and we stand on Brother Joe over here to the left, and all of his bridesmen, they line up beside him, right? And then, Brother Doug, we walk the ladies down the aisle one by one. And then there's something blocking off the back. And all of a sudden, this beautiful lady appears. All eyes are on me, right? Ladies, don't get mad at me. I'm just preaching. And then we play Here Comes the Bride. She makes her grand appearance, right? She makes her grand appearance, Brother Paul, and she walks down the aisle and all eyes are up on her. Here in the Western civilization, it's all about the bride. She makes the grand appearance. She makes the journey to the front to the bridegroom. While her father or some father figure is walking her down the aisle to give her away. But can I tell you, there's a whole lot of contrast in that to the way that it was in the first century in Bible times. The focus was not, Brother Bo, upon the bride. The focus was upon the bridegroom. And the bride is not the one who made the journey. It was the bridegroom who made the journey to the bride. So things were a whole lot different. In an Eastern wedding, it was the bridegroom who made the grand appearance. It was the bridegroom who would travel from where he was to where she is at. In an Eastern wedding, the bridegroom pays all of the expenses of the wedding. Whole lot different than here in the West. The father of the bridegroom in the East pays what is called a dowry for the young lady who is to be given away. It can be money. It can be a piece of land. Now, after paying for the weddings of three of my four daughters, I think we should get back to the way things were in Bible times concerning this matter. So, Brother Joe and Brother Caleb, you owe me a dowry. Brother Joe says, I'll give you a dowry to take her back. Brother Caleb said, yeah, I'll pay you, all right. I'll pay you to take her back. But in the East, it was a whole lot different than it is here in the West. And they paid a dowry for the young lady that they would betroth, right? They paid a dowry for the young lady that they wished their hand in marriage. And can I get an amen from all the dads who got girls in here? You all want to go back to Bible times concerning these matters too, don't you? But it's a whole lot different in the first century in the East as it is today in the 21st century in the West. It was typical for a wedding to be held at night. More people could come if you had your wedding in the evening after the sun had set. The Jewish calendar is much more strenuous. It's much more difficult. It's much harder to find a slot. So many people resorted to evenings. It was not uncommon. It was actually very common for them to have their weddings at night. Hence the need for the lanterns that the 10 virgins had. All right? Hence the need for the lanterns that the 10 virgins had. They all had a lantern. I want you to pay attention to that. They all had a lantern. They all had wicks in their lanterns. They all arose and they all trimmed their wicks on their lanterns. But as they went out to meet the bridegroom, they didn't have enough oil to make it to the wedding. Let me just paint a little picture for you here. The bridegroom, where he was at, he would start in the village, Brother Harold, or the town that he lived in. Okay? And he would gather up his family and his friends who wanted to be a part of his wedding, and they would walk him out to the outskirts of town. Is everybody with me? Say amen so I know you ain't asleep. They would walk him out to the outskirts of town, and there, Brother Paul, when he would get to the outskirts of town, they would set him up on a camel. All right? Is everybody with me? They would set him up on a camel, and then he would begin a journey that was called the journey of the bridegroom. His family, his friends, everyone would follow behind him, and wherever his bride was at, that's where he was headed. It was called the journey of the bridegroom. So he would leave his town, Sister Sam. Now, sometimes he might just have to go to the other part of town. Sometimes he might have to go to another town. Sometimes he might have to cross all the way across the desert to get to where his bride was at. But when he embarked on the journey of the bridegroom, make no doubt about it, he was going to where his bride was at. So he would leave and he would go on a journey to where his bride was at. And once he got there to the town where his bride was at, he would enter into that town and there would be a call made, Brother Bo, that said, the bridegroom is here. The bridegroom is here. And when they called and they said that the bridegroom is here, all of the bride and all of her friends and all of her family, Sister Melissa, would go out to meet the bridegroom. That's why the Bible says that the 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, the wedding was often at night. They had lamps. They go out to meet the bridegroom. And when they would meet the bridegroom, Brother Chris, this is what would happen. Then all of the wedding party, all of the friends and the family of the bridegroom, all of the friends and the family of the bride would embark on a journey. They would embark on a journey to where the wedding was going to take place. All right? Now listen, they wouldn't take the shortest route through town. They would take the longest route through town. They'd knock on the door and say, come on, sis, we're having a wedding. Come be a part of the celebration. Come on, sis, what are you doing? You don't want to miss on the wedding. And then knock on another door. Come on, we're having a wedding. You don't want to miss out on the wedding. There's going to be a celebration. They wouldn't take the short route. They would take the long route, banging on doors, letting people know there's going to be a celebration. There's going to be a party. There's going to be a hoedown. We're going to get down to business. Okay, there's going to be a wedding, and we're going to have festivities, and there's going to be eating, and there's going to be partying, and we're going to have a good time, and there's going to be a wedding. Come on, come with us to the wedding. They went all the way through town, the longest way that they could go through town, and they gathered up everybody they could until finally they got to where the wedding was going to be. All right? Lord bless y'all. You can be seated. Thank you for walking with me. They would go to where the wedding was going to be. And there, once all the party and everybody who was invited and everybody who decided to come would go into where the wedding was going to be, they would shut the door, just like the Bible says, so there would be no interruptions. That's why when the five foolish virgins came back with their oil, and they began to beat Brother Doug up on the door. They said, Lord, open unto us. And he said, I don't know you. You're not a part of these festivities. You had your chance to put oil in your lamp. You had your chance to journey with the bridegroom. There would be a procession through the town, and everybody would know that there was going to be a wedding, and they would take the longest route possible so that everybody who wanted to be a part of that could be a part of that. But they had to take enough oil in their lamp to make it to the wedding. Once they had gathered up all the people and got to the wedding, the place where the wedding would be held, all things were ready. The door was shut. The door was locked, and there would be no more interruptions. So what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is this: Jesus is the bridegroom, and the church is his bride. What I'm saying is it ain't about us, it's about him. What I'm saying is you didn't find him. He found you. You didn't come to him. He came to you right where you're at. He took the journey of the bridegroom, and the Lord knew right where you were at. The Lord knew right where you were going through. Come on, and he came to right where you were at today. This ain't about us, church. This is about him. He that cometh from above is above all, the Bible says. He that is earthy is earthly. He that speaketh of the earth, but he that cometh from heaven is above all. What I'm saying is he is the important figure and not us. It's such a contrast to our Western civilization today. He is the bridegroom. He is the important figure here, not us. What I'm saying is he wasn't the one that was lost. We were. He wasn't the one that need redeemed, we were. He wasn't the one that need betrothed, we were. He wasn't the one that needed somebody, we were. He wasn't the one that was lost and undone and without somebody, we were. We were the mess. We needed him, and he found us right where we were at when we were lost. He made the sacrifice. He made the journey to right where we are at. He found us. Church, he called us. He called us. Come on, when the bridegroom comes, a call goes out. Huh? You ever notice when you're in the house of the Lord, Brother Joe, and the Spirit of the Lord begins moving? There's a call that goes out, and conviction rests upon people. People get out of their seat. People begin to cry. People begin to weep. People begin to lift their hands. People begin to come to the front of the church. Why? Because there's a call that goes out when the bridegroom comes. The bridegroom is here. Everybody ought to give him praise. Everybody ought to love him. Everybody ought to go out to meet the bridegroom. My God, and once you go out to meet the bridegroom, you embark on a journey with him. How many know When you give your life to Christ, when you come up to the front of this church and you surrender yourself, it is the beginning and not the end. It might be the end of the old man, but it's the beginning of a journey. And from that point forward, you start walking with the bridegroom and you're walking through town. And you're knocking on doors and you're saying, come go with me to the wedding feast. Come go with me where there's going to be a celebration. Come go with me where there's going to be some redeeming going on. Come go with me where there's going to be some restoring going on. Come go with me where the Lord's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't contain. You don't want to miss this feast. You don't want to miss this wedding. You don't want to miss this celebration. Come go with me. We're on a journey together, me and the bridegroom. We're on a journey. We're taking the longest way possible. We're gathering as many people as we can gather up. What I'm saying is, church, he is the important figure, not us. He came, he sought us out. He found us when we were lost. He made the sacrifice. Let me tell you something, living for God is not something you have to do, it's something you get to do. Changing the way you see things, changing your mindset, changing the way you view things, changing the way you act, changing the way you talk, changing the way you dress, it ain't something you have to do, it's something you get to do. Huh? When Jesus saw the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, come on, and he told her, he said, if you knew who it was that you was asking a drink of, he said, you'd be asking me for living water. Let me tell you something. She went back and told everybody. He told her, he said, you go your way and sin no more. He wasn't commanding her not to sin. He was empowering her not to sin. You get to live for God today. You get to be a child of God today. You get to wake up in the morning knowing you have his provision and his protection and his sustenance today. You get to live for God today. You don't have to go to the wedding if you don't want to. You can stay in that dark house and sleep and slumber if that's what you choose to do. Or you can get that lamp out. You can fill it with oil. You can trim the wick. You can go out to meet the bridegroom and you can head to the marriage supper of the Lamb. My God. I don't know about you today, but I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to stay in my own little world. I don't want to stay in my own little misery. I don't want to stay in my little unhappiness. I don't want to stay in my own little bubble. I want to be a part of the wedding ceremony. I want to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want the Lord to usher me up out of this place when he comes to call his church home. Hallelujah. Come on. Jesus made the sacrifice. This is all about him. He is the one who made the journey of the bridegroom. He's the one that came right to where you're at. He found you. He called you. The call went out. The bridegroom is here. Now we got to go out to meet him and we got to embark on a journey with him. Church, when he calls, we don't just get to stay where we're at. No. You got to go out to meet the bridegroom. You got to embark on a journey with the bridegroom, or you're never going to make it to the wedding feast. Folks, we're on our way to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We got to have enough oil to make it. We can't make it on our own. We can't make it on our own talents. Our own abilities are not enough. Our greatest thinking will lead to failure. We can't fumble our way in the dark. You got to have enough oil in your lamp to make it to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The bridegroom has come. The call has gone out. You can't fumble your way there. You can't stumble your way there. You got to have oil in your lamp. It takes the Spirit of God to lead you, to guide you, to get you there. That's why Zechariah was told it's not by might. It's not by power. He said, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's going to take the Spirit of God to get you there. You ain't good enough. You ain't great enough. You ain't smart enough. You ain't technical enough. You ain't brilliant enough. You need the Holy Ghost to be your guide. You got to go out to meet the bridegroom, and you got to have oil in your lamp. Your wick's got to be trimmed, and you got to embark on a journey with him, gathering up people along the way. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The oil is a picture of the power of the Holy Ghost, which keeps the light of knowledge and the brightness of truth burning in our lives. Huh? You can't make it without truth. That's why the writer said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin again. You got to have the Holy Ghost inside you today if you want to be ushered up out of this place and make heaven your home forevermore. You got to have the Holy Ghost today. It's not by might. It's not by power. He said it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Church, you're not going to the marriage supper of the Lamb without oil in your lamp. Come on, so every time the church is open, every time the storehouse is open, I want to go get me some more oil. You ain't got to go to church when I find out if five were wise and five were foolish and five didn't have no oil. I want to go every time the storehouse is open. I want to make sure I got plenty of oil to get me where I'm going. I don't want the door to be shut and him to tell me I don't know you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I want to have the brightness of the truth in my life. I want the Holy Ghost to be my guide today. We need the Spirit of God to lead us and to guide us today. Folks, we're on our way. We're on our journey. The bridegroom is called. Go ye out to meet him. Take with you what you need. Come on, you better stop every chance you get at the house of the Lord and fill up that lamp. You better make sure you ain't gonna run out of oil. Is you're going to go there and the door's going to be locked and you're going to bang up on that door and say, let me in. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Come on, folks, we got to get our lamps out. We got to trim our wicks today. We got to make sure our light is burning bright for the world to see. We got to bang on every door and on every heart and on every mind. We got to invite people to this wedding. We got to invite people because the door is going to be shut. Come on, the Bible says that just as it was in the days of Noe, like my grandfather used to say, Noe. In the days of Noe, right? Come on, the Bible says that the floods rose and the rains fell and Noah shut the door to the ark and those folks that was laughing him to scorn come beating on that door and they was saying, Noah, let us in the ark. And he was saying, no, the door is already shut. You already made your decision. Your time is right now. Today is a day of salvation. You got to choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You got to make up your mind whether you're going to the wedding or not. And if you're going to go to the wedding, you got to have oil burning in your lamp. That means you got to go to the storehouse. You got to restock. You got to refuel. Come on. Folks, we got to bang on every door along the way, every heart along the way, every mind along the way. We got to let people know, come on, you're going to miss the wedding. You're going to miss the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come on, come out of that darkness. Wake up from that sleeping. Wake up from that slumbering. Come rejoice with us. Come celebrate with us. The bridegroom has come. Redemption has come. Restoration has come. Deliverance has come. The one who loved me to give his all has come. He got on that camel. He rode a mighty long ways to get to where I'm at. The bridegroom in that first century Eastern wedding would get on that camel and he would travel across the town or across the desert. Let me tell you something. Your God traveled a whole lot farther than that for you. He traveled time, he traveled space, and all along the way he conquered death, hell, and the grave. He kicked in the gates of hell. He preached to the lost. Let me tell you something. He paid everything. He gave his all for you, and he didn't hold back nothing. He didn't hold back nothing. He is the one who took the journey of the bridegroom, the one who loved us enough to give his all, has come today. Church, there's going to be a wedding. There's going to be a union. There's going to be a great betrothal. There's going to be a feast of all feasts. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss heaven. You don't want to miss the marriage supper of the Lamb. The bridegroom has come. Listen to me today. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how deep you have sank. All are welcome to this wedding. All you got to do is get your lamp, trim your wick, and start following the bridegroom today. But if you ain't willing to follow the bridegroom, you're never going to make it to the wedding. If you ain't willing to come out and meet the bridegroom, embark on a journey with the bridegroom, you're never going to make it to the wedding. He came all this way to get us. He didn't just travel across town. He didn't just travel across the desert. He came all this way to get us. His journey took him up Calvary's hill. His journey got him spit up on and mocked. His journey got him beaten. His journey got him crucified. He didn't hold back nothing. He gave his all for us. Church, you mean everything to him. When he shows up and when he calls you out by your name, you'll never be alone again. You'll never be a failure again. You'll never be undone again. You'll never have to try to do it all on your own again. So get out of that dark house. Get out of that lonely condition. Get out of that woe is me mindset and join the wedding party and come out to meet the bridegroom and embark on a journey with Jesus Christ today. He's going to take you to the greatest celebration you have ever known. You have ever known. Hallelujah. You don't have to be the greatest, church. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to know it all. You just got to be willing to get up and to go out and to meet the bridegroom and follow him. Follow him. And you got to be willing to speak to some folks along the way and say, come on, go to heaven with me. Come on, let's go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You don't want to miss it. You don't want the door to be shut. You don't want to miss this rejoicing. You don't want to miss this celebration. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. A long day on a hard camel. Jesus took the journey of the bridegroom. The weddings in that first century biblical times in the East were in such contrast to what we partake of here in the West in this 21st century. It's all about the bride here. How many know in our own minds it's all about us? It shouldn't be about us. It's got to all be about him. He's the one who makes the grand appearance. He's the one who makes the grand entrance. That's why when you're in the house of the Lord and worship begins to take place and hands begin to go up into the air and mouths begin to open and people begin to praise the Lord, you feel something in the atmosphere. It's almost as if you can feel the Lord enter into the room. He makes a grand appearance. He makes it. This is all about him today. He's the one who made the sacrifice. He's the one who made the journey. Listen to me. As they walked around that town, and they began to invite people to the wedding, I was thinking about this morning. In the wee hours of the morning, I want all of our ministry team to listen to me for a moment. The Lord will be more honored by you teaching Bible studies and you evangelizing and you creating disciples than he will ever be by a perfectly crafted sermon. You know why? Because the purpose of the church is to evangelize the world. The purpose of the church is to reach into the lives of hurting people and say, come go with me and see a man. Come go with me and be a part of the wedding party. This ain't about us. This is about him. This is about him today. A long, hard day on a hard camel. Jesus took the journey to save you and I. The sacrifice he made for us is more than significant. It's more than enough today. He journeyed to right where you were. He invited you to come out and to meet him. And all we have to do is respond, trim our lamps, fill them with oil, come out and follow the Lord today. Your walk with God is going to take you through so many different places, but it ain't going to matter where it goes as long as Jesus is with you. You can be in the valley ain't that bad when Jesus is with you. You can be on the mountain ain't that bad when Jesus is with you. You can be in a storm, and it don't matter as long as Jesus is there to say, peace be still. It don't matter. No matter where you go, no matter what you have to go through, as long as your journey has him with you. Church, he gave a dowry for you. He purchased you with his blood. He gave his life that you might have life. And you might have it more abundantly. We belong to him. We belong to him. He purchased us with his blood. He gave his all to get us. He made the journey. That's why when he comes to you and he calls you by your name, he's as close as the tips of your fingers. He's as close as the mention of his name. Why? Because you don't have to go to where he is. He comes to where you're at. He's the one who makes the journey. He's as close as the mention of his name today. So hear the voice of many waters. Hear the voice of mighty thunderings. The Lord is calling you by your name today. Don't stay where you're at. Don't stay in that house. Come out to meet the bridegroom. Come out and join the wedding party. Come out and embark on a journey to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's finish our journey with the bridegroom to the marriage supper of the Lamb today. Would you come? These altars are open. If you want to be